WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our guests are two of the comics featured in the new documentary about the Friars Club, Let Me In, I Hear Laughter. Freddie Roman is the dean of the New York Friars. For much of his career, he played the clubs in the Borscht Belt, the resort hotels of the Catskill Mountains in New York. He was one of the stars of the Broadway show Catskills on Broadway. Comic Jeffrey Ross is one of the younger members of the Friars Club. He's become famous within the club for his hilarious insults at the testimonial roasts. He's performed in clubs around the country, on The Letterman Show, and on Comedy Central. Terry spoke with them both recently about their history with the club.
Freddie Roman, why did you want to join the Friars Club, and what year did you join?
I joined in 1969. I was a relatively... I was a definitely unknown comedian at that time. My prior show business career to 1969 consisted of 7 years up in the Catskill Mountains, playing all the wonderful resorts up there, and a couple in the Poconos. Having heard about the Friars Club all of my adult life, it just seemed like that's where I wanted to be with all the comedy legends of our business. And maybe something would rub off on me from joining. And just the general all-in-all camaraderie of the club, which is fabulous. And, I mean, to walk in for lunch any given day today and hang out with the comedians that come in during the day or in the evening at 5 o'clock, and just the show business connection to it all was the reason I joined, and it turned out to be a marvelous 30 years for me now. I'm a 30-year member, and I've loved every day of it.
Jeff Ross, what year did you join, and why did you want to join?
You know, this weekend I hung up my certificate, which I had framed years ago, but I never hung it up in my apartment, and it says that I became a member on September 14th, 1995, signed by Freddie Roman and Frank Sinatra.
That's nice.
Who was the abbot at the time.
And why did you want to join?
I wanted to join. You know, I didn't want to join. I didn't think it was possible. I went in. I was invited to a card game in the George Burns card room to play poker with some buddies who were comics and members. And we ordered up dinner up to the card room and the whole place. And I think Alan King was there that afternoon when I walked through. And I was starstruck. And the whole vibe, the tradition just kind of blew me away. I didn't think it was something I could ever be a part of. And gosh, now I am.
And Terry, the interesting part of Jeff's 5-year membership, he has done more. We started a program to introduce young comedians to the Friars, and he has brought us a list of people to join this club, all of the younger comedy club kids that really never thought about the Friars. They thought it was an elephant's graveyard originally. And single-handedly, he really brought us a ton of young people who are all using the club, making use of the club, using it to their advantage, because a lot of things fall off in your own professional career just from joining the Friars.
Jeff, I think this is an open door for you to tell some good jokes about how old the members of the Friars are.
One of the first jokes I ever did about the Friars Club was how hip it's getting now. You know, we were roasting Drew Carey last year, and it's a hip, cool, young vibe to it. But when I first joined, I mean, you walk in the club, there's no kids in the place, but there was still a diaper-changing station in the men's room. The secret handshake was like this, and then I held out my hand like a shaky old a shaky old handshake. It was our secret handshake.
Actually, the demographics of the club have changed dramatically over the last decade. In 1989, the average age of the membership was well into the 60s. And now we're in the late 40s, 48, 49. So to drop 14 years in 10 years is an incredible difference.
That's because Jeff Ross and Janine Garofalo are bringing the average down.
Without a question, and they brought us a lot of younger people also, and it's really fabulous now. We actually have people that can chew their food.
Jimmy Kimmel had a great line at the upcoming Jerry Stiller roast. He said, Jeff, this is great. In 20 years, this will all be yours. And I told him afterwards, I think it might happen in 5. Some of these guys don't look too healthy. But it's all a joke, you know? It's really become an energetic place.
Let's talk about the roast, which is one of the things the Friars Club is most famous for. Freddie Roman, you've actually been roasted.
I sure was.
Jeff, were you at Freddie Roman's Rose?
You know, I unfortunately, I think I was shooting a part in something, but
I was so disappointed he wasn't there, but...
It's the only one I missed in a long time, but I heard all the jokes.
We had a wonderful, wonderful roast. The roast master or roast mistress at my roast was Joy Behar, who currently stars on The View with Barbara Walters every morning. And she was absolutely brilliant doing it. She did a great job. And that's one of the great changes in comedy in the last 15 years. There are tons of funny women now. In the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, even up to the beginning of the 80s, you had three women making a living at stand-up comedy. Joan Rivers, Phyllis Diller, and Toadie Fields. And now you literally have thousands, and they're wonderful.
You left out Paul Lynde.
Paul Lynde, I apologize.
I wrote some good jokes about you that I didn't get to do, Fred.
Yeah, do them now.
I was going to say, Freddie Roman's been doing comedy so long, his punchlines are in Latin. This is a guy who did the Ed Sullivan Show pilot.
I love it. I wish I was there. Yeah, you.
So Freddie Roman, what does it feel like to be sitting on the dais, everybody staring at you, as all of your showbiz friends are telling, saying very funny, kind of insulting things about you?
You know, having been on the other side of it, I had done approximately 20 roasts myself, and having been on that side of it, and then to sit there, you sort of know what to expect, but yet when it hits you, you sit there laughing because it is funny, and yet you're saying to yourself, geez, I hope he didn't mean that.
Right.
But no, in all, it was a great evening for me. It was a love fest. They did roast me, but they roasted me with a great feeling, and it was fun. I loved every second of it.
Jeff Ross, what are some of the roasts you've participated in?
I have done, my first one was Steven Seagal with Milton Berle as the roast master.
Oh, wow, what a combo.
And let me just interject before Jeff goes on, only with this one story.
Uh-huh.
Milton Berle, who really was the king of the roasts for 100 years, he's the best roast master there ever was. But he also had little habits, like he didn't like anyone else to be funnier than him. And so when Jeffrey got up, Milton interrupted him in the middle, which usually for a young comedian who's nervous enough about doing his own things could destroy the young comedian and get him flustered and all loused up. Well, Jeff Ross handled it like he had been doing it for 30 years. He put Milton in his place so beautifully that Milton just sat down and shut up, and that's the first time I ever saw Burl end up that way.
That's in the documentary. That whole is...
Is it?
Buddy Hackett and I tell that story intercut.
Mm-hmm.
Milton kept poking me in the ribs, which only I knew. You know, nobody can see that.
We couldn't see it.
No, but it's driving me nuts. You know, this guy is poking me in the ribs from right next to me. And finally, I just laid into him. I said, something about how old... I said, Milton, Milton's Burl's been doing comedy so long, he lost to Mark Twain on Star Search.
Then you said something about him with an antique shop or something.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. I said, Uncle Milton, we've actually met before. I saw you once downtown in an antique shop, $800.
Which got one of the big screams of the entire afternoon.
So Buddy Hackett stood up off mic in that voice, and he said, hey, Milton, let the kid work. Remember when you used to? And then, the place just exploded, and... It's great. Buddy tells the story in the documentary in just such a funny way. When I was improvising with Buddy Hackett and Milton Berle in front of 1,300 people, I mean, I knew I was suddenly in the World Series of comedy there, and holding my own. It was great.
And you won the MVP award that day, too.
Rookie of the Year.
Freddie Roman and Jeffrey Ross speaking with Terry Gross. They're featured in a new documentary about the New York Friars Club called Let Me In, I Hear Laughter. It airs tomorrow night on Cinemax. We'll hear more from Freddie Roman and Jeffrey Ross in the second half of our show. I'm Barbara Bogave, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave, in for Terry Gross. Let's get back to Terry's interview with Freddie Roman and Jeffrey Ross. Freddie Roman is the dean of the New York Friars. He was a regular on the Borscht Belt circuit, the resort hotels of the Catskill Mountains in New York. Comic Jeffrey Ross is a newer member of the Friars Club, and he's already distinguished himself as one of the club's most skillful roasters. A new documentary about the New York Friars Club airs tomorrow on Cinemax. It's called Let Me In, I Hear Laughter. Terry asked Jeffrey Ross about some of the roasts he participated in.
I roasted Danny Aiello, I've roasted Kelsey Grammer, I've roasted Mickey Rooney, Hugh Hefner, Jerry Springer, Drew Carey, and probably a couple others. Danny Aiello was great because he always comes to the roast, and he sat next to me at the Jerry Stiller roast, and it really helps me. You know, he's a great laugher. He cries, he wipes his eyes, he slams the table, and I told him that it just wouldn't be the same doing a roast unless he was there. He's just great. He cried at the end of his roast.
He was overcome with the emotion of it, that we saw fit to put him down as a roastie in the same breath with some of the greatest stars in all of show business.
You know what I was thinking about this lately? These are great comedians who are sitting down in their houses writing jokes about you. You can get Milton Berle or, like Jason Alexander to write about Jerry Stiller, to sit and think about this, to work and use their comedic minds to roast somebody. That's a great honor. And I think Danny, his background, you know, he was a doorman at the Improv when he was a young man starting out in show business. Danny Aiello understands how the art of comedy, and I think he was really moved by the effort that people made.
So what are some of the things you had to say about Danny Aiello?
What can you really say about Danny Aiello that hasn't already been said by some guy in the witness protection program with nine fingers? I made like somebody pass me a note halfway through the roast, and I said, all kidding aside, Danny Aiello is my favorite actor or else.
I had to introduce him the other night at the Jerry Stiller roast for a bow, and I said, Danny Aiello is an amazing man. And he was nominated for the Academy Award for Do the Right Thing. The black people loved him. And then he did The Last Don, and all the Italian people loved him. And then he made Della Ventura, and he's been in the witness program ever since, hiding from the blacks and the Italians.
Poor Danny, his acting was so over the top, they should have hired Jim Carrey and called it Ace Della Ventura. Oh, gosh, I hope he doesn't hear this.
The Friars Club has been open to women since 1988, but before that it was exclusively a men's club. Freddie Roman, you were a member of the Friars during the all-male period and there for the transition.
And I was on the board, right?
You were on the board during the transition?
I was on the board of governors during the transition period, right.
So from your point of view, what was it that made the Friars Club decide that it was time to open up its doors to women?
Well, as we talked about on the board, we said, you know, originally we had one woman apply, this activist lawyer from California named Gloria Allred, and she made it a personal thing that she wanted to join. And we started discussing it at the board meetings, and I just felt, for one, that it was certainly, it's time. We were, approaching the 90s, and the world had changed, and I saw no reason not to have women in the club, and spearheaded the campaign to admit women. And very proudly, we now have fully 14% of our membership are women, all allied to show business as performers, producers, directors, writers, musicians. We have and our list of lady friars is fabulous, and they're very active in the club. They've added a whole new dimension. They run events for it's just such a pleasure having. I look forward to the day when we're 50-50 membership, women and men. They've done a brilliant job helping this club.
What were some of the fears that some of the more resistant men in the Friars Club had to the idea of letting in women?
Well, because, you know, it's just that change. They're afraid of change. You're talking about members that may have been in their 60s, 70s, 80s, that had been there for a long time, and it was always the way they wanted it. And now they were scared to death that it would change, that maybe they'd have to shave more often or what. I don't know. But the couple of three guys that voiced any dissent went along with it naturally because they had to. And one in particular who comes to my mind, he's now 88 years old. His name is Bernie Camber. He's having more fun kibitzing with the women than he does with the men anymore.
Milton Berle recently told me about the first female guest of honor at one of these roasts. He walked out and he said, you know, we have a woman as our guest of honor this year, and I'm not going to use any four-letter words. I'm going to clean it up. I know it's against tradition, but yet it's still an honor to serve as roast master as we honor Lucille Testicle.
Well, if Burl took credit for that, that's another line in the series of Milton Berle lines that is an abject lie.
Really?
Because I was there the day they did the Lucille Burl roast, and it was Johnny Carson who was the roast master, and it was Johnny Carson that everything you just said, word for word, Carson did.
Wow.
Burl just forgets, and he takes credit for it. But it was definitely Carson that did that. And he was a brilliant roast master when he did it.
Now we're going to have to give Uncle Milty equal time to defend himself.
You can, but you won't be able to understand him.
And you better act quick. He's 92.
Yeah.
Comics Freddie Roman and Jeffrey Ross are members of the New York Friars Club. We'll hear more of Terry's interview with them after a break. This is Fresh Air.
If you're just joining us, my guests are two comics who are members of the Friars Club, and they're both featured in the new documentary Let Me In, I Hear Laughter, which is about to premiere on Cinemax. And Jeff Ross has been a member since 1995, and Freddie Roman has been a member since 1969. He's dean of the New York Friars, and also refers to that as president of the Friars. Now, Freddie Roman, you've spent years working the hotels and country clubs in the Catskill Mountains, and then you appeared on Broadway, in Catskills on Broadway.
And that was my baby, my crowning achievement, right?
So what are some of the ways you saw the Catskills change in the years that you performed there?
Well, when I started up there, there were over 200 places to work in. And so the smaller places took chances on new comedians because they didn't have budgets to book the big names. And it was a wonderful place to work out your craft because I would do 6, 7, 8 shows a week. And yes, I was getting $25 or $30 a show, but still it was $200 a week in those days. I could pay my rent, support my two children. And then every year it got a little bigger and a little better, and eventually I was making a wonderful living up there. And then what happened is the advent of the jet plane. Suddenly people could be in Florida in 2 hours, Puerto Rico in 3 hours, Las Vegas in 4 hours, and people started to go other places other than the heavily predominant Jewish crowd that used to come to the Catskills because it was an hour and a half away from New York by car. They suddenly found out they could fly to the Caribbean. They could fly anywhere they want. And the hotels started to suffer a little bit in that respect. So the amount of hotels declined quite quickly, and until there was only the 7 or 8 big ones left. And that's what really happened. That was the rise and fall of the Catskills.
Jeff Ross, did you ever either play the Catskills or vacation in the Catskills?
Both.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. My parents took me up to Grossinger's when I was a kid. I remember seeing a comedian. I don't know who it was. Freddie, maybe you can help me. I remember the one joke. The guy was wearing a tuxedo, and he did a song. He sang a parody of, like, the Helen Reddy song. He said, "I am woman, as you know, because I sit down when I go."
Mousy Lawrence.
That was Mousy?
That was in Mal's act, yeah. Mousy Lawrence was one of my co-stars in Catskills on Broadway.
Right.
Yeah.
For years, I thought that's what a comedian was a guy in a tuxedo in the Catskills.
For years, that's what it was. That was it, yeah. You had to wear a tuxedo.
And I've since done them. You know, I kind of did my research. It's like paying your dues. I played a lot of the hotels. I remember opening for Jon Stewart on Singles Weekend.
At
the Concord. And, yeah. You know, 30 people walked out on me, and they told me I was a big hit. That's a tough crowd.
One of the great things about...
And then Jon Stewart didn't bring a sport jacket. We didn't know. And he felt so self-conscious. When I walked off stage, the band was playing him on. I took my jacket off, and he put it on and walked out with the same jacket on.
Oh, that's funny. One of the great... things about the Concord Hotel, which was the largest resort in the Catskills, their nightclub sat 3,500 people. And one of the great things was those people, if they didn't care for you, they walked out. They just didn't sit there. So there were 8 doors leaving the Concord nightclub. And the next day you would always ask the maitre d', how was the show? And he'd say, 6 doors. 6 doors meant 3/4 of the audience left. But then every once in a while he would say, nobody left. And those were the tribute nights. My first time ever there on a Saturday night, I was opening for Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, and I did a stroke of genius because they wanted to start the show while only half the people were in the nightclub. And if you're the opening act, it's murder with hundreds of people walking in. Nobody can pay attention to you. So I ripped the button off my tuxedo, and I had them get somebody from wardrobe to come and have to sew it on. And I killed an additional 12 minutes. So everybody was seated when I went on. And I killed the audience, and it made me a huge hit up there for the rest of my life. So that little trick actually worked for me.
If you're just joining us, my guests are comic Jeffrey Ross and Freddie Roman. Freddie Roman is the dean of the New York Friars Club. Jeff Ross is one of the younger members of the club and has participated in many of the roasts. And they're both featured in the new documentary about the Friars Club, Let Me In, I Hear Laughter, which will be making its debut on Cinemax on October 26th. I know Henny Youngman was a longtime member of the Friars Club and hung out there a lot. What did the Friars Club do when he passed not that long ago?
Well, we naturally, all of us were at the funeral. It was a huge turnout for his funeral. And we then did a memorial service for him at the club where his family was there, and all the comics got up and told anecdotes about Henny. And he was one of the great. I mean, he sat at the front table to the dining room. He died at 91 or 92. And every day people would walk by, Henny, how are you? And if someone had guests that weren't members of the Friars, it didn't matter. He would tell them, anyone had stopped at his table, he would tell them three jokes. He had little gimmicks he had that he would give them. He was an adorable man. Now, he did about 25 of our roasts and is in the history books as the only comedian in show business at a roast that never said one word about the guest of honor. They would introduce him, Henny Youngman, king of the one-liners, because he can't remember two. Here he is, Henny Youngman. And Henny Youngman would come out and he'd look at the guest of honor and he'd say, so I went to the doctor and I said, doctor, I can't hold my water. What should I do? And the doctor said, get off my carpet. And he would do one joke after another. And finally, after 20 rapid-fire jokes about doctors, psychiatrists, he would turn to Milton Berle and say, I could talk about Milton Berle all day. Well, he never said a word about him. And he would sit down, and the people loved it, and they knew that's what he was going to do.
Oh, that's great.
When I first became a friar, I'd walk in the dining room, and Henny would always be at that first table. And it occurred to me, he walked in like royalty. I mean, he was royalty, and he still is. His Leroy Neiman portrait still hangs above his table, and I always admire it when I walk in and walk out. And
by the way, anyone that commissions Leroy Neiman to do a portrait, it's a fortune of money. Leroy volunteered to do one of Henny because he loved him so much. And that portrait hangs at the club. It's a brilliant, brilliant portrait of Henny.
It's beautiful. It has all Henny's one-liners etched in, along
the borders.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And it occurred to me that Henny is in his 90s now. He walks into the club and gets the respect as if he opened at the Copa the night before. People clap when they see him. And I said, this is really what being a friar must mean. I mean, you know, I'm a young guy. I'm in my 30s now, and you know, comedy clubs come and go, and club owners come and go, and we travel, and I live by myself. It can be a very lonely job. And Henny must have lived through all the things that I'm living through 100 times. And that's, he goes there, and it's like cheers. Everybody knows his name. He walks into place, and he's embraced. He's still a star in his 90s. And
George Burns. Who was active until he was 98. It was only the last year and a half before he hit 100 that they didn't really work. But George Burns would come to the club and 40 people would be around the table just listening to his anecdotes about vaudeville. I'll never forget, George Burns was 94 and they booked him at the Concord Hotel. And 3,500 people gave him a standing ovation. And the next day I was there and I had lunch with him. And we were sitting at the lunch table and an elderly man, about 80, walked over to him in a tennis outfit. And he said, George, I'm 80, George, and I play 2 sets of tennis every day. And Burns looked up at him and said, when I was 80, I had the clap. I mean, and those are wonderful, treasured memories that you hang around the club that you hear all the time. I mean, to this day, Alan King comes to the bar at 5 o'clock and holds court and does these wonderful show business stories about his wonderful career. And So it's still a great place. Young comedian, old comedian, middle-aged comedian. It's fun to be there.
Are Friars Club funerals funny? Do people treat funerals like they do roasts? Or is
sometimes.
There... Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, do you remember Myron Cohen, the great
Absolutely.
Storyteller?
Yeah.
He, who, you know, he'd walk out
He did
out
a lot
on
of Yiddish humor.
Yes, and Yiddish dialect in particular. And I was honored that when he did pass away, his brother Jack called me and asked me to do the eulogy at his funeral. And Alan King got up, Henny Youngman got up. And we decided between us we'd all do one or two of Myron's stories. And that's what we did that day at the funeral. We talked about Myron in terms of the love that he showed to everyone else. We did one or two of his jokes. And then at the end, I said it's very hard to be sad at the funeral of a man that lived 87 years, never had anyone say a bad word about him, and left a legacy of laughter to millions. My God, what an epitaph that is.
At the Jerry Stiller roast, I said about Stiller and Mira, the great comedy team. I said the only time I ever saw them perform live was at Henny Youngman's funeral, and Henny was funnier. But that was a great show. Alan King was on that. Yeah, I said show by accident, but it was a funeral, but it was a great tribute, great comedic tribute.
Friars Club members Freddie Roman and Jeffrey Ross. They're featured in a new documentary about the Friars Club called Let Me In, I Hear Laughter. It airs tomorrow on Cinemax. The Friars Club roast of Jerry Stiller airs Wednesday night on Comedy Central. This is Fresh Air.